Amen. Well, before I begin, I do want to thank Pastor Jimenez, of course, for allowing me to preach and the opportunity. It's always an honor to get to be asked to preach, so I do appreciate that. And, of course, for him reading this very long text, it was a relief that I didn't have to read it. So thank you, Pastor, for reading that for me. And so we're there in 2 Chronicles 34. And, of course, we read a famous story about King Josiah, a very famous king of the nation of Judah. And in 2 Chronicles 34, look at verse number 1 again. The Bible says this. It says, Josiah was 8 years old when he began to reign. So we see Josiah as a very young child at 8 years old, beginning to reign an entire nation. Josiah was 8 years old when he began to reign. And he reigned in Jerusalem 130 years. And notice what it says. It says, and he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord and walked in the ways of David his father and declined neither to the right hand nor to the left. And so what we see from a very young Josiah is we see this description right off the bat of this king. And we see a very good description of this man, Josiah. We see somebody who God would describe as doing that which was right in the sight of the Lord. Somebody who in verse 2 it says, who he walked in the ways of David his father. It says, and declined neither to the right hand nor to the left. Meaning he went straight forward. He knew where he was going. He was following the Lord. It says, notice in verse number 3, it says 4. And of course the word 4 means because, you know, why is it that God looked down upon this king Josiah saying, this man is right, this man is good, this is a good person? Well, it says, for in the 8th year of his reign. And we see Josiah beginning to reign at only 8 years old. And 8 years later, in the 8th year of his reign, here we have a 16-year-old teenager. It says, while he was yet young, it says he began to seek after the God of his father. You know, we read this off the bat, Josiah, in the beginning of his ministry, God describes this guy as a very good guy. You know, you and I would look at this man, we'd think, man, this is a very good Christian that we see God describing here. And this is how you and I should want God to describe us, where God would describe us as being good. Because, look, as you read the Bible, you see all sorts of kings in the nation of Israel, in the nation of Judah, kings who you would look at and be like, man, that's a bad king right there. But you see Josiah, you think, man, this is a very good person. This is a very good king. And look, this is our goal in life as Christians, that God will look at you, God will look upon me, that he would say, look, well done, thou good and faithful servant. We should strive to be good in the eyes of the Lord. And we see a good description of King Josiah right off the bat. Starting his ministry, God says, look, this is a good man, this is a good person in serving here as king. Key place here in 2 Chronicles, go if you go to 2 Kings 23, if you go to 2 Kings chapter number 23. Key place here in 2 Chronicles, we're going to go back to that. But go to 2 Kings 23. And so we see at the very beginning of his life, of his ministry, we see God describing Josiah in a very good way, saying, look, this is a good man. He's declining not. He's looking for the Lord. He's walking in his ways. He's seeking after him. But I want to fast forward. You're going to 2 Kings 23. I want to fast forward to the end of the life of King Josiah. And I want to show you how God describes Josiah towards the end of his life. 2 Kings 23, look at verse number 25. The Bible says this. It says, and like unto him. 2 Kings 23, verse 25. It says, like unto him, like unto Josiah. It says, was there no king before him? It says, that turned to the Lord with all his heart and with all his soul and with all his might, according to all the law of Moses. And notice, it says, neither after him arose there any like him. So we see in the beginning of the life of Josiah, we see God describing this is a very good person. This is a very good king. But we get to the end of the life of Josiah, and God looks upon Josiah. Look, he says, look, there is none like unto Josiah. See, Josiah was different. Josiah goes from being described as good to now being described as exceptional. He says, and like unto him was there no king before him. See, nobody as king to this point was as good as Josiah in God's eyes. See, Josiah wasn't just a regular king. No, he was great. It says, was there no king before him that turned to the Lord with all his heart and with all his soul and with all his might, according to all the law of Moses? And then notice, it says, neither after him arose there any like him. So see, Josiah throughout his life, in the beginning, described as good. We get to the end of his life and we see, man, this is a great description. This is an exceptional king. This is a great man that God would describe. No one like unto him. And this evening, I want to look at the road of Josiah, the road of going from good to great. Because look, in your life, in my life, we should strive to not just be a regular run-of-the-mill Christian. We should strive to, yes, be good Christians, But at the end, where God looked upon the end of our life, God would say, look, that is a great Christian right there. But how do we get there? How do we get from going from good to great? What does the road look like? So tonight, I want to preach quickly on the road from good to great. And look, this should be your goal. From being not just a good Christian, but striving to grow to become a great Christian. Key place there in 2 Kings, if you would, go back to 2 Chronicles 34. If you would, 2 Chronicles 34. The road from good to great. How do we get there? Because I don't know about you, but you should strive to want to be a great Christian. You should strive to want to be like God looked down upon you. You know, Pastor mentioned this morning, you know, if we would grade ourselves, you know, what kind of grade would we give us? And that's a good sobering question, right? You know, we should be honest with ourselves. You know, how are we doing in our Christian life? If God were to look down upon us, how would he rate us as Christians? And we should strive to not just to be a good Christian where we just, you know, just get B's and C's, right, in school. But no, we want to be like the A Christian, right? We want to be the best Christian we can be. So how do we get there? The road from good to great. Well, I have 3 points. Number one, the road from good to great begins with the right decisions. The road from good to great begins with the right decisions. 2 Chronicles 34, look at verse number 2. Again, in verse number 2, the Bible says this. It says, and he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, and walked in the ways of David his father, and inclined neither to the right hand nor to the left. And notice, it says, for in the 8th year of his reign, while he was yet young, notice what Josiah decides to do to go from good to great. It says, he began to, it says, seek after the God of David his father. You see, how do you go from good to great? Well, it begins with the right decisions. You got to begin with the decision to seek the Lord, to seek God. And off the bat, Josiah, a young teenager, 16 years old, makes the choice, the decision to do what? To seek after the God of David, his father. You know, what does it mean to seek? To seek means to attempt or desire to obtain or to achieve something. You know, to want to know the Lord. And look, that is a decision every person in this room ought to make. To seek after God, to know who God is, to seek, to know, to desire after the God of David, his fathers. See, it begins with the decision to seek. Can you place your 2 Chronicles 34? We'll go to Colossians 1, if you would. Colossians 1, Colossians chapter 1. Colossians 1, if you have Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans, 1, 2 Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, Colossians 1. And look, you got to be a Christian who wants to be a great Christian. You don't want to be just like a regular, normal, well, God looks down upon you, oh, there's just another, you know, another SMO, a Sunday morning only, right? I'm making that joke tonight because it's Sunday night, so you guys all get that. But like, you want to be a great Christian. But it begins, number one, with this decision to seek. And like, you got to seek the Lord. Colossians 3, verse number 1, the Bible says this. It says, if ye then be risen with Christ, Colossians 3, 1, if ye then be risen with Christ, notice what it says. It says, seek those things which are above where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Amen. See, it begins with a choice. It begins with a choice of you deciding to seek those things which are above. And like, this is a choice that you ought to make in your life. And nobody can make that choice for you. And we see Josiah at a very young age, at only 16 years old, deciding to do what? To seek after the God of David, his fathers. You say, how do I go from good to great? Well, it begins with a choice, with a decision to seek those things which are above, to seek the Lord. In Isaiah 55, verse 6, the Bible says this. It says, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. See, God wants us to desire to seek after him in life. And like, you know, this is true for you in your life. If you are sitting in this room and you know if you're somebody who is seeking the Lord or not, because you could be someone who's just going through the motions, but in your mind, in your heart, you're not really seeking after God. We should choose, decide to go from good to great, but it begins with this choice where you must just decide, even as a teenager in this room, to seek after God. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above. Go, if you would, to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. The road from good to great. How does Josiah go from being just a good king to a great king, to an exceptional king? The road from good to great begins with the decision to seek. Matthew chapter 6, famous verse. I'm sure you all know it. Matthew chapter 6, but I want you to see it. Verse 33. Matthew 6, 33. The Bible says this. It says, but notice, but seek. That means in your life, look, this is what you ought to be looking for in your life. The things that you're focused on, that you want to achieve in life, that you're looking for in life. Look, if when people look at you in life, you know, the world should look at us as Christians, and they should see somebody with an ambition doing what should be, and with an ambition to seek. It says, but seek ye first, notice, the kingdom of God. And notice, and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Famous verse. But seek ye first. Seek those things which are above. It's an obvious thing that every Christian should be seeking the things of God, seeking after the Lord. In Proverbs 8:17, don't turn there, but the Bible says, I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me. See, those that seek him early, right? And look, many of us are older in this room, but look, we could have gotten saved later in life. So when I see the word early, I do think, yes, every child, every teenager in this room should make the decision in their life, in their mind, in their heart to seek after God in their life. But look, if you got saved later in life, look, seek him early. When you got saved, you have a tender heart to the things of God. And you should decide to be somebody who, yes, maybe you're older, but if you just got saved recently, decide to seek after God. Because where does greatness end up? How do you get there? Well, it begins with a choice that you make when you decide to seek after the Lord. See, the road from good to great begins with the right decision. It begins with the decision to seek. But not just that. Go back if you would to, well, keep your place there in the New Testament. Go back if you would to 2 Chronicles 34. 2 Chronicles 34. The road from good to great, not only does it begin with the decision to seek, but it begins with the decision to purge. 2 Chronicles 34, look at verse number 3. Again, notice what Josiah does. This good king at this time, God would say, this is a good man. This is a good Christian, right? This is a good person to look to. For in the eighth year of his reign, this teenage young man, while he was yet young, he began to seek after the God of David, his father. What a great choice to make. But not just that. It begins with a decision to seek, but also with the decision to purge. Notice, and in the 12th year, he began to purge Judah and Jerusalem. See, not only should you decide to seek, but you should decide to purge in life. What does it mean to purge in life? The word to purge means to get rid of something or to remove something. It means to cleanse. And like, people make these choices, and these are good choices to make, right? They decide, look, I'm going to start seeking after God. I'm going to start going to church. I'm going to start reading the Bible. I'm going to start going soul winning. I want to know God. I want to seek after the Lord. And then they also decide to purge, which is a great thing to do. They decide to get rid of some things in their life. And this is what Josiah does. He begins to purge the land. It says he began to purge Judah and Jerusalem from the high places and the groves and the carved images and the molten images. Notice verse 4. Notice, and they break down the altars of Balaam in his presence and the images that are on high above them. Notice it says he cut down and the groves and the carved images and the molten images. It says, notice, he break in pieces and made dust of them and strewed it upon the graves of them that had sacrificed unto them. Here we see Josiah doing what? Deciding to cleanse the land, to purge the outward, to cleanse the situation. And like, people make these choices, and these are great choices to make when they decide to seek after God. That is a good choice. And they decide to purge their life, which is also a great choice. You know, what do? They get rid of the movies. They get rid of the music. They get rid of the posters. They get rid of the entertainment. They start having the standards in life, right? They start dressing like a Christian, looking like a Christian. Start to get rid of things that they used to drink. They used to smoke. They want to purge their life. And look, these are good choices to make. And look, this is how you begin from going good to great. You begin to purge. And we see Josiah purging the land. And in verse number 5, he says, notice, he burnt the bones of the priests upon the altars. Notice, and cleansed Judah and Jerusalem. And you know, you read these verses that Josiah is doing what? He's burning the bones of the priests upon the of the false prophets. He's cleansing Judah. He's breaking down the altars. He's cutting down. He's breaking things. He's purging the land. Look, you look at this guy and you see all these radical changes. You think, man, this is a very good person. This person is on fire for the Lord. In verse number 6, notice what it says about Josiah. It says, and so did he in the cities of Manasseh and Ephraim and Simeon. Notice, even at Naphtali with their mattocks round about. So you see Josiah doing these throughout all the land of Judah. It says in the cities also, not just that, but also of Manasseh and Ephraim and Simeon, and even also into Naphtali. You know, all these changes, you know, I could just imagine Josiah coming in as just this young whippersnapper, just excited on fire for the Lord, doing all these radical changes in his life. And I could just imagine people looking at this guy and be like, man, like, what are you, in a cult? You know, like, what? Where did this come from, Josiah? Just all these radical changes. But look, these are good things to do. And look, in your life, there's many people in this room who have decided to make that decision to purge their life. When they get rid of the things that they used to watch, how they used to speak, what they used to drink, where they used to go, how they used to dress, you purge your life, and you know, the world around you might look at that and think like, man, that is radical. But look, this is a good decision. It's a good thing to decide to purge the things in your life. Keep your place there. Go, if you would, go back to Colossians, if you would, Colossians chapter number 3. Go to Colossians 3. And look, we should want to go from good to great. It is good to decide to seek the Lord. It is good to decide to purge your life. And look, we should always be constantly purging in life. Because sometimes when it comes to purging, look, we can get so excited about the purge, about the change, about the radical changes, which are all good. But then we can get to a place where we can feel like we're done purging. But look, there's always more room to grow. There's always more room to change. There's always room to become a better Christian in life. But it begins with a choice to purge. Colossians 3, look at verse number 8. Colossians 3, 8. The Bible says, but now ye also, it says, put off all these. That's purging, right? Put off these things. Put off what? Anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Verse 9, notice, lie not one to another. It says, notice, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds. And again, it is a good thing to put off the old man, to purge the old man, to want to make these radical changes like Josiah, a man who God looked down and said, look, this is a good man, at a young age deciding to do what? To seek the Lord. At a young age deciding to purge the land. Here we see we should purge ourselves from the old man. Ephesians 4:22, don't turn there, but the Bible says again, they put off concerning the former conversation the old man. What is that? That's the old lifestyle, how you used to live in life. And like, these are great choices to make. And this is really where the road begins for a Christian, if you think about it. The road for a Christian doesn't just begin the moment that you get saved, although that is the beginning of the moment of the opening. But the road sort of begins when you decide to get into church, when you decide to actually start reading the Bible, when you decide to actually start going soul winning, when you decide to actually start seeking after God and knowing who God is and living the Christian life. That is a choice that you make. And look, that is where the road began for you, where you decided, because nobody forced you to sit here. You decided to choose to be here because you wanted to seek after the Lord. But then you made another choice in your life. You made a choice not just to seek, but you made a choice to purge in your life, to change how you live, to change what you do, to start looking like a Christian. And like Josiah, you could have made all these changes, all this purging, breaking things down, maybe even breaking down some bad relationships that needed to go. Purging, making good choices. The world around you might have seen that as radical, saying, man, where did this come from? And you make all these good choices in life. And look, the reality is that, look, there's many a Christian in this room who've made these choices, who made the good choice to seek and the good choice to purge. But sadly, this is where the road for most Christians ends, where the journey ends. See, God could have looked down on Josiah and just, you know, given those few verses on Josiah just purging the land and just making these changes. He did that which was right. And we think, man, this is just a good king, right? But we get to the end of his life and we see Josiah described as a great king. And look, sadly, there's many a Christian who've decided to seek after God. They decided to live the Christian life. They decided to be faithful to church, to read the Bible. They decided to know who God is. They've started purging the life. They made all these sorts of changes. They changed how they live. They changed their life. They changed how they raise their kids. They changed how they talk, the relationships. They were purging their life for the things of God. But sadly, that's where the journey ends. But look, that's just the beginning. The road continues. The road to greatness goes on. See, the road from good to great begins with the right decision. It begins with the choice to seek. It begins with the choice to purge. But number two, the road from good to great continues down a road less traveled. The road from good to great continues down a road less traveled. And not about you, but you should strive to want to be a great Christian. And it continues. It doesn't just end. Because look, oftentimes we can think to ourselves, is this the Christian life? Right? I just go to church 3 times a week. You know, I got rid of my old friendships, right? You know, I can't watch that anymore. I can't dress like this anymore. I can't talk like that anymore. Instead of living for money, now I have to live for God. And we can almost like get bitter towards the Christian life. But we think that's the end of the road for the Christian life. But no, no, no. The road continues down a road less traveled. There's a very famous American poem. Maybe you've heard it. It's called The Road Not Taken. And there's a famous line in that poem that reads, two roads diverged in a wood, and I took the one less traveled by, and that has made all the difference. And of course, we get this idea of a fork in the road, right? When you decide to be somebody who doesn't just follow the crowd, right? You decide to be someone who takes the road less traveled. And the Christian life is one where you must choose to continue down a road less traveled. Down a road where most people are unwilling to take. And we see Josiah at 16 years old deciding to seek the Lord. 4 years later, he begins to purge the land. And he spent 6 years doing a lot of good. And then he goes home. In verse number 7, 2 Chronicles 34, verse 7, notice what the Bible says. It says, "And when he had broken down the altars in the groves and had beaten the graven images into powder and cut down all the idols," notice, "throughout all the land of Israel," it says he returned to Jerusalem. And I don't know, but I read this, and sometimes I think to myself, like, Josiah must have thought he was done, right? Josiah goes throughout all the land of Israel, cleansing all the land, breaking everything down, cutting things down, burning things, breaking things, cleansing the land, and then he returns to Jerusalem. He probably thought, well, I guess that's the Christian life. I guess I'm done. But in verse number 8, notice what it says. It says, "Now in the 18th year of his reign," notice, 6 years go by, 6 years of changes, 6 years of purging, 6 years of living the Christian life. It says, "When he had purged the land and the house, he sent Shaphan, the son of Azaliah, and Maaseiah, the governor of the city, and Joah, the son of Joahaz, the recorder," notice, "to repair the house of the Lord his God." You know, I think to myself, you know, why, Josiah, didn't you begin? And I'm not comparing myself to Josiah, but it's like, why didn't you begin with the house of the Lord? He's busy purging the land, busy purging every other city, purging his own house. 6 years goes by, and he says, you know what? I'm just going to go repair the house of the Lord. You know, at this time, the nation of Judah wasn't really right with the Lord. They had come from a bad king prior, so they weren't following God. So I look at this, and I kind of picture this as a bad relationship between God and his nation. That the house of the Lord had been forsaken. There was work that needed to be done. It was not being taken care of. It was not being looked to. So Josiah makes a good choice to repair the house of the Lord his God. And they go to repair it, and in verse, just for sake of time, we're going to jump down to verse 14. They get to work on the house, and notice what it says in verse 14. "And when they had brought out the money that was brought into the house of the Lord," to make the repairs, that is, it says, "Hilkiah the priest," notice, "found a book of the law of the Lord given by Moses." See, all this time, it's hard to imagine, but all this time, Josiah was making all these changes without the word of God. And after 6-10 years of living the Christian life, he decides to repair the house of God, to mend that relationship, to get right with the Lord. He goes there and he finds a book. A book, but not just any book. A book of the law of the Lord his God. And we see Josiah is seeking after God, making all these great decisions, great choices, but there was something missing in his life. And the truth is that many a Christian who's decided to seek and a purge and to start living, to start doing good, or you and I would look at them and be like, man, that is a good Christian. They may not realize it, but there might be this big void in their life. Look, Josiah didn't realize there was this void. Josiah probably thought, man, I'm just this great Christian doing a lot of great things. And he was a good Christian. He was, and I'm using the word Christian, but I'm just likening it unto us. He was a good Christian, right? You could see these changes, and you think, man, this is a great Christian, right? But all the while, Josiah didn't realize there was this major void in his life of missing the word of God in his life. And when it comes to the Christian life or life in general, look, we will have these fork-in-the-road moments in life. And look, when we are confronted with the word of God. And in verse 15, notice what the Bible says. It says, "And Hilkiah answered and said to Shaphan the scribe," notice, "I have found the book of the law in the house of the Lord." And Hilkiah delivered the book to Shaphan. I like how it says the priest found a book. He says, "I have found the book." So they find this book, the Bible, the word of God, and they sent it to Josiah. Jump down to verse 18 for sake of time. "Then Shaphan the scribe told the king, saying, Hilkiah the priest hath given me a book." Notice, "and Shaphan read it before the king." Keep mind you, Josiah, spending years trying to live the Christian life, is now finally hearing the word of God. "And it came to pass," notice, "when the king heard the words of the law," notice that he rent his clothes. And, you know, we read this and it's easy to just pass over, read it quickly. But here we have the king of a nation doing what? Hearing the word of God and just ripping his clothes to shreds, right? I was thinking of doing that as an illustration, but I decided not to do that for you guys. Just ripping his clothes to shreds. And, you know, if there's one person who could have been prideful, you know, you'd think it's the king, right? He's running the nation. He's probably the wealthiest man in the nation, has a whole army behind him, but he hears the word of God. And what does he do? He rents his clothes. You know, picture that. You know, without the word of God, what is Josiah doing? Without the word of God, he was going to this city and that city, just all the things he was looking at. The outward needs to change. That needs to get broken down. Just looking around, seeing all the changes that need to be done on the outside. He finally hears the word of God, and Josiah, being a man of God, he says, no, it's not about the outward, it's about the inward. And he does what? He rends his own clothes. And we see the good response. You know, to rend your clothes is a sign of grief, anger, or despair. And the truth is about the road less traveled is that the Christian life will get you to a point where you have a choice to make. And sometimes it's a daily choice where you could choose to go where you should go towards the word of God or to go pretty much anywhere else. Because there's really just two choices in life. Right. And we see Josiah hearing the word of God. No, he's rending his own clothes. Look at verse number 21. Notice what Josiah says. He says, go, inquire of the Lord, he says, for me. And for them that are left in Israel and in Judah. Again, concerning what? Concerning the words of the book that is found. For great is the wrath of the Lord that is poured out upon us. Why? Because our fathers have not kept the word of the Lord to do after all that is written, again, in this book. See, all the while Josiah was living the Christian life, making all these changes. You know, everyone probably looked at him thinking, man, that's a good guy right there. He's on fire for the Lord. Look at him. All the while, he didn't realize, look, the word of God was missing in his life. See, a road less traveled, even for good Christians, is the road that takes you through the book, that takes you through the Bible. And look, people want to live the Christian life until it gets biblical, right? It's because, look, here's the thing about seeking. Look, it's when you decide to seek, look, that's exciting times. People want to praise that. That's great. We decided to seek the Lord, to live for God. That is a great choice. People want to get you excited. They want to be to rejoice with you. When you begin to purge, look, purging is exciting. It's great when you're making all these radical changes in your life, right? You're pulling the kids out of the school. You're homeschooling now. You're dressing differently. You're not drinking anymore. You're not watching that anymore. You're living the Christian life. You're going to church 3 times a week. You're going soul winning. All those things are exciting. But then what happens? But then you get to a point when the newness wears off, when the excitement wears off. And you get to what I call a fork in the road moment when we really see where the rubber meets the road. It's like, have you been living your Christian life without the word of God in your life? Because at some point, you have to make a choice to live by the book. Amen. Don't turn there, but it's Psalm 119, 105, the Bible says this. It says, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Amen. See, the word of God is a lamp for your feet. And what does a lamp do? It gives you light. It's a light into your path. See, without the pages of the Bible, without the word of God in your life, look, you're kind of just going, but you're not really knowing where you're going. And you can get to a point in your life where decisions are made, bad choices can be made without the word of God. And look, we see this happen even with good Christians. They get to the point where they have two choices, to do what the Bible says or do something else. And it's like they don't even know what the Bible says. Like people say things that I think to myself, do you not just read the Bible? Don't you know what the Bible says? And they make terrible choices. Why? Because they're missing the book in their life. See, the road less taken is a road so few good Christians take. And that's what? That's to decide to walk according to this book. Look at verse number 30. Notice what it says. Notice what Josiah does. And the king went up into the house of the Lord. And all the men of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem and the priests and the Levites and all the people, great and small. Notice what he does. It says, and he, the king, read in their ears all the words of the book of the covenant that was found in the house of the Lord. And notice verse 31. It says, and the king stood in his place and made a covenant before the Lord to walk after the Lord and to keep his commandments and his testimonies and his statutes. But notice what it says. It says, with all, notice, his heart. I want you to notice that Josiah chose to take a road less traveled. It says, with all his heart. See, Josiah chose to do what? To walk after the Lord. And to do what? To keep his commandments and his testimonies and his statutes with all his heart. And, you know, this is a hard pill to swallow for us to make a covenant like this. You know, I'd be careful of making this covenant. But Josiah here, obviously, you know, a great man to walk this earth, he made this covenant that he was going to walk after God, keep his commandments. Once he heard the word of God, he said, you know what? I'm going to follow this. I'm going to keep this. I'm going to obey this. Not just, you know, every once in a while or during church time. No. With all his heart. And he goes on. And with all his soul. Notice, to perform, to do, to keep the words of the covenant which are written, again, in this book. And like the road less traveled is one that gets to the Christian life. And like you can see it with people where, honestly, hard decisions have to be made. We could choose to go one way or the other. See, one way leads you through a place of forgiveness, maybe, or of working hard or of being humble. The other road takes you through pride and just not doing what the Bible tells you to do. When it comes to decisions in your life, look, these can be daily choices. When you get to these moments in life where every day you choose to do what the Bible says or just to do something else. And we see it as a road that so few Christians are willing to take. Key place in 2 Chronicles, go to Proverbs 3 if you would, Proverbs chapter number 3. Just right in the center of your Bible, you have the book of Psalms and the book of Proverbs, Proverbs 3. See, how do I go from good to great? Well, it begins with the choice to seek and a purge. Those are great choices to make. I'd say most people in this room have made those choices. But the road continues down a road less traveled. And the road continues through the book, through the Word of God. It is when you decide to walk according to this book. When you start making choices based on what the Bible says and not what you and I think, that's when we start to see some growth. Proverbs 3, look at verse number 5, the Bible says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Proverbs 3, 5. And lean not unto thine own understanding. Of course, in all thy ways, notice, in all thy ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. And isn't this what we want? Because look, it could seem like the road in life doesn't seem so great. It could seem like it gets difficult, like we don't like it, like we don't want to be there. But here's the thing. All of us are on a different path. You're running the race that is set before you. I'm running the race that is set before me. We have different races to run. But guess what? God knows where you are on that path. And during that race, you're going to get to a place where you must choose to do something, not leaning into your own understanding. Because look, people make choices on their own understanding, and what do? They leave church. What do? They get backslidden. What do? They stop reading the Bible. They stop going soul winning. They start living for the world. And they have all these reasons leaning onto their own understanding, but it's like, did you not even consider the Lord? Did you not consider this book? And then it says, in all thy ways, acknowledge him, meaning in every choice you make, every direction you take, when it comes to even big decisions, especially, in all your ways, acknowledge him, notice, and he shall direct thy paths. Go to Proverbs 4, if you would, Proverbs chapter number 4, just one chapter over. Proverbs 4, look at verse number 20. Proverbs 4:20, the Bible says, my son, attend to my words, incline thine ear unto my sayings. Verse 21, let them not depart from thine eyes, keep them in the midst of thine heart. Verse 22, for they are life unto those that, and then it says this, that find them, and health to all their flesh. It says they, the words of this book, their health. But it says unto those, and their life, it says unto those that find them. And I like that phrase, find them. Because look, what happened with Josiah? Josiah found the book. He found the words of the law. And you know, I wonder, you know, how many Christians even today have the Bible on their lap, have the Bible in their room, have the Bible in their house, but it might as well be lost. Because it's not being read. They're not seeking after it. They're not picking it up. They're not reading it. It's like the Bible says here that the words are life unto those who find them. And yes, you may be holding a physical book, but the question is, are you actually keeping the commandments? Are you striving to walk in his word? Because the Christian life is more than just choices and decisions. It's when you actually decide to obey what the Bible says. And that is a road that so few Christians are willing to take. It is a road less traveled. A road that says, you know what, I'm going to not trust in my own understanding, lean out into my own wisdom. Look, when the Bible says every man did that which is right in his own eyes, that is actually a negative thing in the Bible. It is when we trust in his word, in all his ways acknowledge him. For the words are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. So in your life, you got to ask yourself, when it comes to hard decisions, things that maybe you're dealing with in life, you got to ask yourself, you know, what does the Bible say? Do you know what the Bible says? Well, we should pick up this book, read it, find out what it says, and choose, like Josiah, to walk after the Lord, to keep his commandments and his testimonies and his statutes with all his heart and with all his soul, to perform the words of the covenant which are written in this book. See, the road from good to great, how do we get there? Well, it begins with the right decision, the decision to seek, the decision to purge. Those are good things. But the road from good to great continues down a road less traveled. It is down the road of the pages of the Bible. And number three, the road from good to great begins and ends with you. Go back to 2 Chronicles 34, if you would, 2 Chronicles 34. The road from good to great. You see, I want to be a great Christian. Look, we should all want to be a great Christian. But look, whether or not you or I get there, whether or not you get there is dependent on one person, and that person is you. Whether I get there, that's just dependent upon me. And what we like to do, because we don't read the Bible, because we don't know what the Bible says, like Josiah, we didn't have the Word of God, we like to make all these sorts of changes, how I can be a great Christian. Well, I better purge this. I better change this outward thing. I'm going to just change all the outside. But then we see what the Bible says, like, no. The change has to be on the inside. It's like you have to change. And good Christians, outwardly, they look good, and then they make terrible choices in their life. Because they think, well, if I just change the circumstances, then I'll be a great Christian. It's like, no. If you're a bad Christian here, you'll be a bad Christian somewhere else. Why? Because, look, it's not the outward. It's not the circumstances. The road from good to great begins and ends with you. And where you get there, where you go on that road depends on you. But that's a good thing, because, like, you could choose to get there if you so choose. For sake of time, we're not going to read it, but Josiah inquires of the Lord. In 2 Chronicles 34, look at verse number 26, notice the message that is sent back to Josiah with regards to his response to the word of God. In verse 26, it says, "And as for the king of Judah, who sent you to inquire of the Lord, so shall he say unto him, thus saith the Lord God of Israel concerning the words which thou hast heard." Notice what it says. It says, "Because thine heart was tender." You know, the word tender means soft and easily broken. I want you to notice that God was watching Josiah the moment he heard the word, the moment he heard the book. God was watching his reaction. And God says, "Because thine heart was tender." Notice, "and thou didst humble thyself before God." Again, God sees the response. God sees what you do and don't do with the word of God. "And thou didst humble thyself before God." When thou heardest his words against his place and against the inhabitants thereof. And what? "And humblest thyself before me, and didst rend thy clothes and weep before me. It says, I have even heard thee also, saith the Lord." And so we see God seeing the response that Josiah had. What was his response? It was one of a tender heart. And look, you got to ask yourself, you know, how do you respond to the word of God? I mean, the word of God should have such an effect on us is that where we read it, the Bible says it, that settles it. But where the word of God just breaks our heart. And look, you don't think there's Christians out there who get a hard heart towards the things of God? Who they hear their preaching, it's like it doesn't even make sense. It's like they're not breaking up the fallow ground. Just stiff-necked, hard-hearted. Nothing's coming through. But look, how we respond to the word of God says a lot about how far you and I will go in the Christian life. "Because thine heart was tender, and thou didst humble thyself." See, pride keeps us from reaching our potential. The Bible says, "But he giveth more grace before he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble." You know what you can do, and I can do in my life, in your life, so that we can become great Christians, is we got to maintain a tenderness toward the word of God. A soft heart toward the word of God. When we see what the Bible says, look, it ought to make us humble in life. There's a reason why God commanded the Old Testament kings to write a copy of this book so they can read it all the days of their lives. To do what? Because it says to help them to stay humble and to fear the Lord their God. See, humility and fearing God comes from you reading the Bible. And this road of the Christian life, you could be making all these changes, and the road seems like there might be something missing. And the thing is, there is something missing. And it's probably the Word of God. And the truth is that your Christian life is not dependent on anyone else but you. 2 Kings, go back to 2 Kings, if you would, 2 Kings 23. 2 Kings 23. See, the road from good to great with Josiah began what? Began with the right decision to seek and to purge. But he continued down a road less traveled, where he actually went through the book, walking according to what the Bible says. And the road from good to great began and ended with Josiah himself. 2 Kings 23, look verse number 3, the Bible says, "And the king stood by a pillar and made a covenant before the Lord to walk after the Lord and to keep his commandments and his testimonies and his statutes," notice, "with all their heart and with all their soul, to perform the words of this covenant that were written in this book." And we read this, and obviously we know that the first and great commandment is to do what? It's to love the Lord God with all our heart and all our soul and all our might. The whole reason we have the Bible, the first and great commandment, upon these things hang the entire Word of God, is so that we can love God and seek after Him and to walk in His ways, to perform these words. And with that, we get the famous verse in verse 25, 2 Kings 23 and verse 25. "And like unto him, like unto Josiah, was there no king before him. But then it says that turned to the Lord with all his heart and with all his soul and with all his might." But then it says, "according to all the law of Moses." And I find it interesting how the Bible says here that there was no one like Josiah who turned to the Lord. And I wonder how many good Christians today who are seeking and who are purging need to actually turn to the Lord. You say, how is it done? Turn to the Lord with all his heart and with all his soul and with all his mind. But how do you do it? It says, "according to all the law of Moses. Neither after him arose there any like him." See, I wonder how many good Christians could become great Christians today if they would choose to turn. And not focus on the outward, not focus on the outside, changing this, changing that, thinking the circumstances, thinking it's everyone else's problem, thinking it's the pastor, thinking it's the church, thinking it's the church members. No. If they would just turn with all their heart, with all their soul, with all their might, where? According to the book. See, the road from good to great, my friend, begins and ends with you. How you respond to the Word of God. I hope it's not lost in your life. And if it is, you should find the words, because they are life and they are health. And they can help you make wise choices in life and help you go from good to great like King Josiah. See, the road from good to great begins with the right decision to seek, decision to purge. The road from good to great continues down a road less traveled. I hope you make the choice to travel that road. And the road from good to great begins and ends with you. Let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for this evening, God. I thank you for your word and for our church and for the book, Lord. I just pray that you help us all to cherish the word and to love your word and to live by it, to know that you can help us all be great Christians in your sight if we would just choose to read your word and be humble and be tenderhearted towards the word of God and to obey you and to put you first in all things, Lord. I pray that you bless our church, bless everyone that's here, bless our lives. God, help us to put you first in all things. We love you, and in Jesus' name, pray.